subjugated by fruit of activities.
Prayunche acts. Avidyaya by ignorance. Atmani when the living entity. Upadiyamane is covered. Prithihi love. Na not. Yavat as long as. Mahi unto me. Vasudeva. Vasudeva Krishna. Na not. Muchate is delivered. Deyat yogena from contact with the material body. Tabat so long. Translation. When the living entity is covered by the mode of ignorance, he does not understand the individual living being and the supreme living being, and his mind is subjugated to fruit of activity. Therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudeva, who is none other than myself, he is certainly not delivered from having to accept a material body again and again. So you can repeat, when the living entity is covered by the mode of ignorance, he does not understand the individual living being and the supreme living being. And his mind is subjugated to fruit of activity. Therefore, until one has love for Lord Vasudeva, who is none other than myself. He is certainly not delivered from having to accept material body again and again. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When the mind is polluted by fruit of activity, the living entity wants to be elevated from one material position to another. Generally, everyone is involved in working hard day and night to improve his economic condition. Even when one understands the Vedic rituals, he becomes interested in promotion to heavenly planets, not knowing that one's real interest lies in returning home back to Godhead. By acting on the platform of fruit of activity, one wanders throughout the universe in different species and forms. Unless he comes in contact with a devotee of the Lord, a guru, he does not become attached to the service of Lord Vasudeva. Knowledge of Vasudeva requires many births to understand. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, text 19, Vasudeva sarvam iti sa mahatma sudur vabaha. After struggling for existence for many births, one may take shelter at the lotus feet of Vasudeva Krishna. When this happens, one actually becomes wise and surrenders unto him. That is the only way to stop the repetition of birth and death. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjalila, 19th chapter, text 151. In the instructions given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sri Rupa Goswami at Dasha Valmeda Gata. Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Poi Bhakti Lata Bij. The living entity wanders throughout different planets in different forms and bodies, but if by chance he comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of the spiritual master, he receives Lord Krishna's shelter and his devotional life begins. So Evamana karma vasham prayunte avidyatman yupadiyamane prithirnaya vanmai vasudeve namuchate deha yogena tavat. So om agnat mirandasha gananjana shlakaya chakshur unmiritam yena tasmai shigurave namaha. So this word fruitive is very easy to understand. Of course, it basically means one who is interested in fruits And not fruits in terms of simply apples and oranges and grapes, but one who's interested in the things of this world, the fruits of this world, the fruits of his activities, the results of his activities. And so, in one sense, that refers to the subtle fruit, the gross fruits, sorry, like John Maheshwari, Shudasar Shibir, you know, the fruits of good karma, which are like good birth and opulence and beauty and being very intelligent and things of this world. But also it refers to subtle things, profit, adoration, distinction. And also refers to even liberation in a larger sense. Because liberation, or the desire to get free from this material world, is the fruit of one's activities, whereby one executes austerities or engages in jnana yoga or other types of activities. So these are all results. Let's say, translate the word fruit or fruits into results of one's activities. So in all those cases, one is actually very, very, what we call selfish, and just interested in other words, just interested in themselves. And we find this is also there with neophyte devotees, that when devotees first come to Krishna consciousness, of course, as Krishna says in the Gita, chaturvidha vajanti mam, they're coming for basically fruits. In other words, what are they looking for? They're looking for wealth, they're looking for freedom of distress, they're looking for a little titillation of their curiosity, in other words, they're curious, or they're looking for knowledge. So these are also fruits of activity. So even we find that immature devotees, they're interested in themselves, basically. And even as one makes some advancement in devotional service, and they may even decry these particular four fruits that are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita of why people come to Krishna consciousness, they become interested in enjoying devotional service. That's not specifically mentioned in that those four fruits of Chaturvidha Bhishanti Bham. But they're interested in enjoying Krishna consciousness, and it's still a very self-centered concept. Of course, it's better than nothing. We're not trying to criticize those who are interested in enjoying Krishna consciousness, because it's better they try to enjoy Krishna consciousness than they try to enjoy things externally or subtly or liberation or whatever they're interested in. So, but still, that enjoying spirit is there in the name of Krishna consciousness. They're trying to enjoy Krishna. Like Prabhupada said to one disciple, he said, you're not supposed to enjoy Krishna, you're supposed to serve Krishna or have Krishna enjoy you, because we are prakriti. That's a very hard one for us to swallow, that we're actually prakriti meant for the Purusha's enjoyment. And it's very interesting, like if you look at the traditional Vedic system, that sort of shocks people when you see the relationship in the traditional Vedic system between husband and wife, that you find the wife taking a very submissive we're not advocating that nowadays. Please don't pin me on a cross and burn me. But the wife takes a very like submissive attitude or relationship with the husband, and even eats after the husband, eats the remnants of the husband. I mean, it's just, you can't, of course, we're not imposing that in modern Krishna conscious society. But one thinks, oh, what a horrible slavish or slave mentality that is. But actually, that's very blissful. I'm not saying it's blissful to subjugate women. That's, please, forgive me. That's not what I'm saying. It's blissful to take a subservient position when you're dealing with a Vaishnava. Like we hear, Prabhupada informs us that the more removed you are in terms of like dasa, dasa, dasanu, das, The more you become a servant of a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord, the more elevated it is, because you're taking a very humble position. I mean, even the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. It's not specifically that Jesus Christ wants people to inherit the earth. You know, that you think, oh, if I'm meek, I'm going to get the whole earth and you'll be a controller. But if you're meek and humble, of course there's a time when one should be meek and humble. You know, obviously when the Lord's offended, you're not supposed to be meek and humble. But if you're meek and humble in relationship in the service attitude, then you actually can inherit the kingdom of God. Not that we're interested in the earth. So this is a very, very important point, because it's mentioned here. One thing I wanted to make very clear, that when one serves a devotee of the Lord, and here it mentions a guru, then at that point, one actually gives up the fruit of mentality. Now, of course, there's so many examples of that in the Vedic literature, but I wanted to make not a counterpoint to that, but to actually fill in, and so that one doesn't simply think that they have to serve the guru and they don't serve any other Vaishnava, because that's a common misconception that people have. That, you know, you just serve the guru and everybody else, you know, it's too bad. But there are many examples in the pastimes mentioned in the Bhagavatam and pastimes mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how by serving the guru one actually becomes free from the fruit of mentality. I mean, there's the example in the story given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking, I believe it was Sanatana Goswami who was telling this, about how Narada Muni came across this hunter. The hunter's name was Magrari. Everyone's familiar with that story. And Magrari was engaged in, I mean, fruitive activities. I don't know if you really call it. I mean, they're nefarious, devious, cruel, nasty activities of killing animals, not only killing animals, but he was enjoying seeing animals suffer. I mean, that's about as low as you can get. I mean, it's one thing to be a hunter. I mean, even Narada Muni said to this Magrari, I understand, you know, you have to make your living hunting, but why are you half killing the animals and watching them suffer? And Magrari said, you know, this is the way I was taught, this is the way my father taught me, and, you know, this is enjoyable. So there you have someone like taking pleasure in the lowest, practically speaking, the lowest activity. And then coming in contact with Narada Muni, what happens is that he actually gives up that fruitive, if you could call it a fruitive activity, or nefarious activity. He gives up that fruitive activity and becomes engaged in the most elevated activity practically instantaneously. You know, after getting a little warning from Narada Muni what his future would be, Narada Muni informs him and gives him sort of a virtual understanding. Virtual understanding means he is actually able to perceive what would happen in the future to himself, in that he was able to perceive that these same animals that he was torturing would come in the future, in some future life, and torture him in the same way. So in any case, but by Narada Muni's association, the point I'm making is by Narada Muni's association, he had like a 180 degree, you know, flip there from the most nefarious, disgusting, cruel person to someone who was actually an absolute pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he and his wife, Magrari and his wife, sat in front of a tulsi plant and chanted the holy names. And he was worried. First of all, he was very worried how he was going to make a living, because his living was based upon killing animals. And I guess he even offered Narada Muni the skin of one of the animals. He said, oh, what would you like? Some animal skin? And Narada Muni said, no, that's really not. Narada Muni said, that's not really in my interest. But he was worried how he was going to make his living. And Narada Muni said to him, I will make sure that you get enough to eat. And it's interesting, after he became a great saintly person, along with his wife, and they were chanting in front of the Tulsi tree, they got more than they needed. And he complained to Narada Muni that, you know, don't send so much. Now you're sending too much and more than we can possibly use, so please, you know, cool it, you know, reduce the amount of food that you're sending. So you see, like, from the lowest position, he becomes situated in the highest position of pure devotional service. Pretty interesting. And so many examples by the Association of Pure Devotees. Like, there's the example of Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. That's about as low as you can get, too. Of course, now they don't call them prostitutes anymore. They call them sex workers. There's a different euphemism. Did you know that? Some of you may know that. You're not supposed to use that P word anymore. So, by Haridas Thakur's association, even though she came with such a nefarious and motive to cause Haridas Thakur to fall down, then Haridas Thakur gave her his mercy, and she became an absolutely pure devotee and gave up everything, and also shaved her head, sat before the Tulsi plant, and was taken care of. People used to give her offerings, so she was actually taken care of in that way. She gave all of her possessions away to the Vaishnavas and Brahmins. So, you know, quite a wonderful story, isn't it? How about a pure devotee is like a touchstone. I mean, also we have the example of Prabhupada coming to the Western world, and you have hippies. Prabhupada was one time asked, you know, what is a hippie? And Prabhupada said, you know what it is, something wonderful. Anyway, so in other words, you know, hippie meant someone who was taking all sorts of drugs, had flowers in his hair, you know, man, long hair, maggot infested, as they used to say. You know what maggot infested? Maggot is like, a maggot is like with the flies, they lay their eggs, and the little baby flies, before they actually become flies, come out of the eggs, they're called maggots. So, because the hippies hadn't taken baths in a long time. And even, you know, even there was one prominent member of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, is a prominent member of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, big guru and everything like that, who was living naked in a tree in a nudist colony. And that, you know, Prabhupada came in contact with him in that way. I mean, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Living naked in a tree. Because recently in San Francisco, they have this whole controversy. The government wants to pass a law that nobody can run around naked. And there are people who are protesting, you know, with protest signs, you know, walking around naked in the street. And I'm just thinking, it's so cold out, you know, why is someone going to walk around naked anyway? So they're so determined to be low that they'll walk around. I mean, come on. It's stupid. I mean, San Francisco is not actually the warmest place in America. It's actually quite cold. It's just almost as cold as here in North Carolina. Imagine someone coming to the temple naked in the morning. So, anyway, so Prabhupada changed people like that by his association. He's like a touchstone. And, you know, other stories in Bhagavatam, like you have Dhruva Maharaj coming in contact with Narada Muni, and he gave up his material fruit of desires there. Chitraketu had such a fruit of desire, he wanted a son. You know, that was a fruit of desire. He wanted a good son. And he had such a intense fruit of desire that he married 10 million wives in order to accomplish that. Can you imagine? You know, I would think after the fifth wife, you'd sort of give up. Isn't it? You know, you try 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wives. You know, it's all right. Krishna doesn't want any kids. But he married 10 million wives. And finally, you know, he got this Harsha Soka. That means happiness and distress, and who was killed by 9,999,999 of the wives, and he was lamenting. And then he got the association of Narada Muni and became such a great devotee, free of material desires, than when he was cursed by Parvati or Durga to become a demon, he wasn't even worried about it. And that's where this famous verse comes from. Narayana Paraksarvai Nakutash Naviviti Swargapavarga Narakeshu Apitulyartha Darshana. A topmost devotee of Narayan, he can go to heaven, he can go to hell, he can go back to Godhead, wherever he goes, he sees everything as the same. Apitulyartha Darshana. Anyway, there's so many stories of Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's a story of Ishwara Puri serving Madhavendra Puri, becoming such a great devotee that he became the spiritual master of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are stories we hear all the time. However, you know what? The point I want to make is that we should serve all Vaishnavas, not just look for some great pure devotee to serve, which is nice. I mean, obviously, I'm not decrying that particular activity. But here's a story of someone who was serving all Vaishnavas and achieved perfection by serving all the Vaishnavas. And this is a story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a story of Kalidas. Kalidas had faith in all the Vaishnavas, even if the Vaishnavas were of a lower caste. Now, you've got to remember, in India, in those days, it was even more caste-conscious than it is today. Today, it's pretty caste-conscious. The door should be closed. So the doors, we're getting nice fresh air from outside. So nowadays it's pretty caste-conscious. Like, when I went to Govardhan and Vrindavan, there's this whole caste of what's called bungies. Bungies are the people who clean out the sewers, basically. The open sewers that run in the streets. So that's the bungie caste. And basically nobody associates with these people because they're bungies. They only associate with each other. They only marry people in the bungie caste. And even it gets more technical. Like, even when you get Brahmin caste, there's so many different subcastes within the Brahmin caste, and you have to marry someone within the Brahmin caste. So remember, this is the scenario that I'm giving that is there in India and was even more prominent 500 years ago when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. Extremely prominent. I mean, even Lord Chaitanya, in order to observe this and not agitate people, would only take food cooked by Brahmins. And if Lord Chaitanya was invited by a non-Brahmin, the non-Brahmin would hire a Brahmin or buy food from the Jagannath Temple, buy remnants from the Jagannath Temple to feed Lord Chaitanya. So remember, even Lord Chaitanya observed this caste distinction, not insofar as giving out devotional service, but insofar as his activities as a sannyasi, so as not to agitate people. Because he wanted people to be Krishna conscious, and if he did things that were too much outside of the normal social scene there, people would not respect him as a sannyasi. He described that a sannyasi should be like a white sheet, and there shouldn't be any spots on a white sheet. Because if someone has Lord Chaitanya was so extreme that he even refused to accept a bed. When this devotee, Jagadananda Pandit, made him a bed, just out of some, cotton leaves, not even a four-poster bed, not even a futon, but just like a simple mattress from leaves and cloth, then he just refused to accept it because he said people would make fun of him. So he was very concerned. So that's why Lord Chaitanya observed some of the formalities of the caste system so that people would respect his preaching and take up Krishna consciousness. So let's go on with the story of Kalidas. So Kalidas, he actually didn't consider anything to do with the caste system. Kalidas would go to basically every Vaishnava that was in Mayapur or Navadvipa area and serve them. And not only serve them, he would bring them gifts. And we're talking about gifts, we're talking about prasadam. We're not talking about chatters or anything like that. He would bring them prasadam, and he would somehow or other take their remnants. There's a story told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How one time he went to this Vaishnava from a lower caste. Of course, one's not supposed to really consider Vaishnavas as being in any caste. That's an offensive mentality. But at least externally, You know, he was situated in a lower caste. His name was Jadu Thakur, which he was actually like a Shudra caste. And he went to his home, and he basically offered obeisances to this lower caste Vaishnava. And Jadu Thakur offered obeisances to him. And he quoted many verses glorifying how a Vaishnava is automatically a ho bhattaswa pachato gariyan. Jarji Vagre Vartate Namatubhyam. How so much chanting the holy names, it's understood that he's actually come to the highest brahminical status, in spite of whatever status he's been born in. So he quoted so many verses like that. Jadu Thakur was very happy. And he actually asked Jadu Thakur to put his feet on his head, on the head of Kalidas. And Jadu Thakur obviously refused. I mean, obviously, you know, so when you go to someone's house and you ask him to put his feet on your head, you just don't do that. He doesn't do that. I mean, just not, it's not appropriate. So, but what happened is he left some gifts, and that is some mangoes, in the house of Jadu Thakur. Jadu Thakur, after Kalidas left, ate the mango. Actually, his wife peeled it, and then his wife ate the remnants of Jadu Thakur. You know, that's another thing that's very shocking for the Western mind. You know, the wife ate the remnants of the husband. But remember that everybody's happy to become a servant of a servant. Remember, this is actually the mentality. It's not a forced thing that, you know, you're, because you're in this particular body or caste, you know, you have to be subservient to me. I mean, that sometimes you find devotees in ISKCON do that. They impose this artificially on others. Either they have a Brahmin initiation or they're a man. They think they're better than women. And they try to impose this on others. And this is actually quite offensive. It's actually quite offensive. But, you know, one should be very happy to serve Vaishnavas, even if the Vaishnava is inferior to you. And I'll tell a story about that in a second. So anyway, so Jadu Thakur ate the mango, his wife ate, and then they threw the leaf plates out. And then Kalidas was hiding outside the house, right near the ditch where they threw the garbage. And he grabbed the remnants, you know, whatever was left, the mango skin, the mango pit, and sucked on it and felt great ecstasy. And he did this with every Vaishnava in Navadweep and Mayapur area. So what was the result of that? The result of that was that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he joined Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was washing his feet in front of the Singhadwara gate, that means the lion gate of the Jagannath temple, he was able to take two sips of water from the foot washing of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and sip it. And Lord Chaitanya allowed him to do it. After two sips, Lord Chaitanya said, "Stop. You know, Krishna has fulfilled your desire. That's enough." But generally, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya had people posted just to watch to make sure that no one drank the foot bathing water. He actually had some of his associates just standing there, just make sure this doesn't happen. You know, because he was quite popular in Jagannath Puri. So obviously, that's what people do that. People, I mean, somehow they want to do that. And then Lord Chaitanya was so humble, he didn't want people to do that. Sometimes we go to people's houses and they pass around the water from foot bathing. And sometimes I even ask for the water myself, but as a joke. So, but Kalidas got a chance to drink the water. And not only that, later on when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking prasadam, and generally he didn't leave remnants over for people to take, but he told Govinda, he motioned to Govinda, he said, you know, give Kalidas my remnants. So here's an example of someone serving just all the Vaishnavas and getting perfection because of that. You know, because it's every Vaishnava has Krishna. In fact, that's why someone can become non-fruitive by associating and serving a Vaishnava, whether it's a guru or other Vaishnavas, because the Vaishnava contains within his heart the bhakti. We're talking about the Bhakti Lata Bij, which Prabhupada quotes here from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda Brahmate Konavagi Wanjiv Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhaj Bhakti Lata Bij. The Vaishnava has the Bhakti Lata Bij. Krishna himself doesn't give the Bhakti Lata Bij. It's Vaishnavas who have the Bhakti Lata Bij. Because as Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur explains, bhakti is independent. Bhakti is independent. Bhakti comes and is given by the Vaishnava to others. So, and then even there's an extreme case of serving another Vaishnava. In the case of Shivananda Sen, who was serving a Vaishnava dog. It's interesting. And he was serving this dog. You know, you may think, you know, I should become a servant. You know, sometimes devotees just say, you know, don't serve dogs like that. But we had some disciples who had a dog who was a Vaishnava and went back to Godhead. Because they were chanting by the ear of the Vaishnava. Anyway, that's another story. But Shivananda Sen was serving this dog as the dog was proceeding with the other Vaishnavas towards Jagannath Puri from Navadvip. And he even was paying extra to the toll keepers or to the boatmen to take the dogs across the river. The dog across the river. And one day, as he was arranging for the devotees and paying tolls, the dog wasn't fed. And the dog sort of left the association of the devotees at that point. And Shivananda Sen came back and asked, you know, has the dog been fed? He asked the servant. The servant said no. And no one knows where the dog is. And Shivananda Sen began to fast because the dog had not gotten his prasadam. Amazing story, isn't it? And then eventually, when they reached Jagannath Puri, they found that same dog in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the dog was chanting Hare Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was throwing green coconut pulp at the dog, and the dog went back to Godhead. So you see, there's a case of someone serving, you know, a great pure devotee of the Lord, serving a dog. Interesting. It's interesting. So one can get the favor of Krishna by becoming the servant of the servant and not thinking that, you know, I'm only going to serve the guru. That was the point I'm making. And one personal experience of that, actually yesterday I had a personal experience of that. I went over to Lochan Prabhu's house where his daughter Rasapriya is actually suffering from terminal cancer. And I got a chance to, an opportunity. We should see like that. Service is an opportunity. I got an opportunity to read and chant for. And after doing that, I felt my taste for the holy name increasing and all sorts of, you know, spiritual realizations coming. Practically as much as I get when I'm at Govardhan. You know, just by serving a simple, humble Vaishnava. So we should think like that. That we should learn this. I mean, at many other religious societies, they learn this attitude of service to each other. I mean, the Christians do this regularly. And we should learn that too, and not be so much interested in our own selves. You know, this is fruitive. In our own selves, we should be interested in others, and helping others come to Krishna consciousness and be Krishna conscious. And in this way, we can imbibe the two most important teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which are Jiva Doi and Namaruchi. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Radha Lokananda ki jai.